From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this snowy day in Maine, Monday, February 13th, 2017. And on this day, hey, did you hear it snowed? It's true. Crazy, right? We'll check in on the state's biggest storm so far this year. And in many rural Maine communities, the library is the best source for high-speed internet, but funding for that service is dwindling. Those stories ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Well, first, tonight, the ferocious winter storm blew into Maine last night, shutting down most of the state for all or at least part of the day. Whiteout conditions prevailed through northern areas and especially down east, where state highway crews took their trucks off the roads after experiencing near-zero visibility driving conditions. As A.J. Higgins reports, most Mainers just stayed at home.
With heavy snow, gusting winds, and sub-zero wind chills, the largest blizzard of the winter season brought most activity in the state to a standstill. Airports closed, outpatient surgery at least one major hospital was canceled for the day, and thousands of motorists stayed off the roads to give local and state plow crews a chance to push back against the storm. The major airports in Maine were closed as a result of the storm, and that included the Portland Jet Port, where Portland resident Rick Jones works. The good news for Jones was that he didn't have to go to work. The bad news? He still had to find his car parked near his apartment complex.
Just getting up in the morning, finding your car, it's all the way stuck. Snow above the tire, straight, like, you know, against the door. I'm lucky I didn't have work this morning, man.
At the National Weather Service in Gray, meteorologist Tom Hawley says the storm was dumping snow in excess of 20 inches in many areas of the state, and that gusting winds pose the greatest threat to visibility on the highway.
Well, you're going to see gusts probably over 50 miles per hour, and they'll last right through the afternoon into the early evening.
That's money in the bank for small snowplow operators like Will, who declined to give his last name. Like many of the other plow jockeys, Will had stopped into Dunkin' Donuts on Audlin Road in Bangor in search of some refreshment.
Let me just double check on that donut. We've been kind of cleaned out. Hold on just a minute. Yeah, I don't have a chocolate glaze, but I do have a chocolate glaze stick.
This blizzard, says Will, was one of the worst he's worked with. Snow so heavy that he had plowed some customers five times since the storm began.
It's not fun. Visibility is zero. There's still people out there in cars. Shouldn't be.
And for those who prefer to take care of their own driveway clearing chores, the storm provided a challenge. Homeowner Peter Voss of Falmouth was lucky to have a snowblower with the latest high-tech accoutrements.
Heated handle.
That's pretty sweet. Yes.
Most hospital emergency rooms remained open, but at Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor, spokeswoman Helen McKinnon said some services, such as outpatient care, were scaled back during the storm.
At this point in time, when we had enough notice, we decided to make sure and take the steps to keep our staff and patients off the road, because it's a critical time for us, and we hope, and we're still hearing that it's still very difficult to travel and to be seen out there. So I think we made the right decision.
The extended series of storms has also disrupted the attendance schedule at many of Maine's public schools. Seth Goodwin teaches French at Edward Little High School in Auburn. He says that while students may not mind having classes canceled today, they could get the bill for all the time off later this year.
It's been a tough stretch to get momentum in the classroom. Three snow days last week and today, and we only saw the kids Monday and Friday. I think we're going to be in school till just about the 4th of July if it keeps up like this.
Decision makers at the Maine Department of Transportation were also concerned about how long the storm cycle would continue. The state pulled its plow trucks off the highways in Maine's downeast region when driving became impossible due to whiteout conditions. DOT spokesman Ted Talbot says the department was reviewing conditions and would send the plows back out as soon as possible. Talbot says the job was made somewhat easier with fewer cars on the road.
Well, what's encouraging is there's a lot of cancellations today. Schools are closed. State offices are closed. That really helps us do what we need to do for plowing.
State snow removal operations are expected to wind down Tuesday, just in time to prepare for another likely storm on Wednesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Deep snow may be one reason that the Maine Border Patrol's not seeing an increase in asylum seekers trying to illegally cross the border into Canada. That's been the experience of some border towns ever since the president's ban on travel to the U.S. from seven majority Muslim countries. Susan Sharon has more.
As recently as last summer, there were isolated incidents of individuals illegally crossing the border into Canada from Maine in the hope of receiving asylum. But Jonathan Maynard, a public affairs liaison with the Maine Border Patrol in Holton, says so far agents have not seen evidence that anyone is trying to cross anywhere except at designated ports of entry. He says this time of year, the weather makes such a journey more than a little challenging.
Certainly it would be not only a deterrent, but a difficult thing to do just based on the terrain and the geographic difficulties presented by several feet of snow.
Maynard estimates the snow is now more than chest deep in some places. Much of northern and western Maine is also heavily wooded. Recent news accounts have described how some asylum seekers have lost fingers to frostbite in their attempts to cross into Canada on foot. Maynard says the Border Patrol is always prepared to offer assistance and provide humanitarian aid to anyone who needs it. He says border agents do not determine whether individuals attempting to enter Canada have the proper documents, but will report them to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
More than 900 schools and libraries across the state depend on funding from the Maine School and Library Network to help pay for high-speed broadband connections. But as Mal Leary reports, the revenues that make that possible are decreasing every year.
6 years ago, the fee on charges for in-state telephone calls brought in just over $4 million to help pay for the fiber connections that are the backbone of the broadband system. But by last year, those revenues had dropped to under $3 million as more and more Mainers have moved from making calls to texting or other forms of cell phone messaging. Biddeford Democratic Representative Marty Grohman has introduced legislation that would boost the fee and bring revenues back up to $4.2 million a year.
Let's shore it up in the short term, and then I realize there are a variety of concerns about how this funding is done. We absolutely want to do it equitably. I think if we can get all of the stakeholders together in a room, I think we can work it out.
Grohman says he's committed to working on a funding stream that is fair, but also provides enough money to maintain a system that he says is particularly important to rural Maine communities.
It's something we tend to take for granted, but it brings high speed, and I mean super high speed, including fast uploads, to schools and libraries all over Maine, including all over rural Maine.
He says in some rural areas of the state, the only really high speed connections are at local schools and libraries. Bryce Kundick, president of the Maine Library Association, says as state funding has decreased, local schools and libraries have had to seek local funding, usually the property tax, to keep the high-speed connections.
For example, here in Farmington, that they just came through trying to, they needed a $40,000 increase for the budget, as I recall. And that's just, it's huge, and it's not sustainable.
In 2015, says Kundick, schools and libraries started to pick up part of the cost, doling out $120,000. This year, it will be double that, at more than $250,000. And without legislative action, more of the cost will get shifted. And Kundick is worried that the state will lose federal funds if local towns stop contributing to the cost of the broadband connection. Currently, 60% of that cost is picked up by the Federal Communications Commission's E-rate program. But that has to be matched at 40%. By state or local funds.
If our share diminishes, then so will the federal share.
Representative Seth Berry, a Democrat from Bodenham, co-chairs the legislature's Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee that will consider Grohman's legislation.
We need our schools and libraries to be modern. In my own community, there are many folks who go down to the library and either sit outside in their cars or go inside in order to access internet because they don't have adequate access at home.
Barry says he would like to see the committee try to work out a long-term funding plan this session, working with all the stakeholders. One of those stakeholders is public advocate Tim Schneider, who says the small monthly fee to provide broadband access in rural areas of the state is needed, at least until new technologies are developed to bring affordable broadband to those areas.
Until we solve that problem, these high-speed connections at schools and libraries are the best broadband that's available in many communities. It's really the only way that folks have access to high-speed broadband in a lot of parts of rural Maine.
Schneider says the long-term goal of the state is to provide high-speed broadband at affordable rates throughout Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And that's This Day in Maine for Monday, February 13th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Moore and Fred Bever, the Maine snow plowing community, and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.